Good morning. So this morning we are reading from Genesis chapter 39, verse 7 to 21. And we're covering the subject of clothing, and this is the first basic need of your physical earth suit. We've covered the survival needs for your earth suit, and now we are covering the basic needs. So, in terms of clothing, Lord Jesus, how do you want us to do this? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So, start at verse 10. Backwards or forwards? Okay, forwards. So, just to give you a bit of a backstory to this, this is Joseph, and he was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. As a slave, he worked at Potiphar's house, and he started off as just an ordinary just servant. He did not know the Egyptian language. No, probably not. I mean, he might have learned a little bit, because remember, he was taught from home. By his father, bringing him up in all sorts of ways. So he might have known a bit of Egyptian, but he didn't know the cultures and all the rest of it. So he winds up being there as a slave, and from this position, he works his way up. Now, we always think about ourselves as working our way up the ladder. But what we've got to recognize is actually, as a child of God, you don't work your way up the ladder. God works you up the ladder. He's the one who's going to maneuver you and move you, and he's going to do it in strange ways. For example, later we will see how Joseph goes to prison. And in prison, he is spending time there as a prisoner. He's not in charge of anything initially. He eventually gets favor given by God. God works him up to being a person in charge of all of the prisoners because he's diligent, he's honest, he's hardworking. He does everything that the Bible says to do. And when you do that, God is in it. God is definitely working in it. He doesn't do anything that is legal or wrong. And so you have God not supporting him, but God guiding him, guiding the footsteps of his feet. Well, God was guiding him to be sold as a slave because he needed to move him from one place to another. And often we don't want to move ourselves, so God has to find ways to move us. And he can burn your house down if you still don't want to listen. And then now you don't have a house. So now what? Now you're going to rebuild your house? Or you're going to say, Lord, where do you actually want me? Now that I don't have a house, now that I am fluid and flexible, I can go anywhere. Where do you want me? Where are you trying to take me? And he's probably been telling you for ages. You just haven't really wanted to. Now, there's many ways that God will try and move you. Well, God moves Joseph to Egypt, and he becomes the slave person to Potiphar. And so we pick up the story when I think we'll back it up just a bit there to verse 5. But let's read verse 10 first. So, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day. Now, who is she? This is Potiphar's wife. All right. And she is speaking to Joseph day by day. All right. That he hearkened not unto her. So he doesn't listen to her. He's ignoring her. He can't leave. He's a slave. He has to stay there. So he can't leave. So all he can do is ignore her, right? It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, to be with her. Well, she was the one making moves on him. So now let's go back and try and understand how this has all gone a little bit wrong. So we start from verse 7 is where we're going to officially start from. But I'm going to back it up just a little bit for more context, right? Verse 5. And it came to pass from the time he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You know, I have noticed that anyone who hires me, that while I'm working for them, all the things that I do are blessed because I give them to the Lord, not mine, his. Give them to the Lord, and then what happens is that people recognize that there's this blessing. Now, one of the reasons I believe is that I keep the Sabbath. I it's a condition of my contract. I make it very clear in my contract I will not work on the Sabbath. And I put it in writing so that if anything happens, I can fall back and say, no, it's in writing. I'm not going to do that. And so, and nowadays you can have to be very careful with this one because they're about to change the Sabbath to a Sunday. The Pope will do this and he will claim that he's allowed to, but this will be the ultimate breaking of the Ten Commandments when he does that, right? So if you're ever going to talk about Sabbath, you need to say the Saturday Sabbath. You need to spell it out, right? Anyway, so I don't know what Joseph did there, but I do know that Joseph was a Hebrew. And I'm sure that as soon as he got into a position whereby he was able to order things about, he would have switched things across so that he was able to honor the Sabbath. And God would have blessed him. God would have blessed him as a consequence of that. Because why? He's keeping the Ten Commandments. So, start that part again. And it came to pass from the time he had made him overseer. So, in other words, he wasn't blessed until he made Joseph the overseer of his house. At that point, the blessing came. You see, a child of God only has blessing and authority over that which he's been given authority over. If a person gives him authority over a large area, that large area will be blessed. If they give him authority over a small area, that small area will be blessed. It came to pass from the time he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. So all he had to worry about was his work, and coming home, being with his wife, and eating. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well favored. So this word well favored, we've come across it a few times. We came across it with Rachel, and with now Joseph, etc. Bottom line is, well-favored simply means that your body really looks good for the time that you live in. So what I mean by the time that you live in? Well, there was a period of time where very overweight women were considered very beautiful. We live in a time where very slim people are considered beautiful. But these things keep changing. And therefore, this just says well-favored. So we don't know what that ultimately means, but he probably was quite muscular. He'd been working very hard. And so now we start with verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. None greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You can see that Joseph has not forsaken God. He's not living in his own space. He's not living by business principles. He is very clear that he submits to God. And he sees what she's asking him to do as sinning against God. And that is the best and safest way for you to be, right? And he would have made sure that he made himself less attractive to her, because he did not want that kind of attention. And it's so important to, from your clothing perspective, if you don't want to attract the attention of a particular person, don't wear the kind of clothes that are going to attract them. And Joseph would have been doing that. The problem is Joseph was in a position of power, and women will go for beauty, or they'll go for power, or they'll go for these kind of things. And she was at home all the time. And so, you know, she probably lonely because her husband seemed to be a bit of a workaholic. Well, verse 10, it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that went into the house to do his business, and none of the men of the house there within. So it's important, it's really important to understand this. Right. Don't get yourself cornered by being alone with a woman that's trying to get hold of you. It is so, so dangerous. So, so dangerous. And you know what? Most guys can't see it coming anyway. Most guys just cannot see that they're being hunted. So be careful when a woman starts to pay attention to you too much, right? Be very careful of that. Anyway, and of course we can see that in this whole thing. So there's none of the men in the house there within. Now we know that with counseling, men counsel men and women counsel women. And then there's occasionally where you need a woman and a man together, because you need a certain kind of skill set, and the man happens to have that skill set in counseling or whatever the case is. And in a situation like that, you need to have, well, you either need to have cameras if you can, but if you're not allowed to have cameras because of privacy, etc., you must have the person of the same sex as the person that you're counseling there with you as well. If you're a male and there's a female and you need to counsel her for some reason or another, you need to have another female with you. And it's really important to do this. And the same thing is true the other way around. If a man happens to be going to a woman counselor, then the man must take another woman with him. Or the woman, the counselor, must provide another man to be in the room. But you never want to have a situation whereby you can be accused of anything, right? Well, this time he goes in and he's either not able to or doesn't think about it. And verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, clearly, at this point, she is so, I don't know, possessed, obsessed and possessed over him. And she grabs hold of his clothes and grabs his garment. And he absolutely needs to get out of here. needs to get out of here, right? But there's a lesson in this. There's a real lesson in here. If somebody has hold of your garment, don't wriggle out of your garment. It doesn't matter if your garment gets ripped or anything like that. Make sure that your garment rather gets torn, but do not leave it behind, because your garment is evidence of you, and whatever clothing you have is evidence of you, and you don't want that clothing to be used as in an inappropriate way, or in some way that's going to be used to blame you for something. You know, often people will steal someone's clothes, go and commit a robbery, and everybody knows those clothes belong to that person, and they get caught on camera, but they don't see the face, but they can see the clothes, and that person then gets the blame. Be very careful with your clothes. Your clothes are evidence of you. So, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So we're discussing clothing. There's a couple of really important messages relating to this. The first one is, do not wear clothing that's going to draw attention to you in a way that you do not want to be drawn attention to. Now, you've got to be careful here too. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to wear this because I've got this particular person in mind. You're thinking of that one person. You're thinking, what can I where to draw that one person that I really want to draw to me. What you're forgetting is that the clothes you're wearing are not just for that person. The clothes that you're wearing are going to be advertising you to everybody. And there's two sides to it. One, you're going to be advertising yourself to that opposite sex, and you're also going to be advertising that you are advertising to your same sex. So other men will start to see that you are trying to court a particular person. Well, that can spark all sorts of jealousies and things. So what does one do in a situation like this? Well, you go in prayer to the Lord. You say, Lord, this is the person on my heart. This is the person that I'm looking for. And I'm just going to be me. I'm not going to try and catch anybody with clothing or with ornaments or with makeup or with me presenting some kind of a acceptable side of me or a popular side of me. I'm just going to be me. Because I don't want somebody to come to me and like me for my clothing. I do not want to be a trophy wife. I want to be somebody who's loved for who I am. I don't want to be a trophy husband. I want to be loved for whom I am. Now, to do that means you cannot allow yourself to wear trophy clothes. You can't go out there trying to draw people to you with the clothing that you wear, because you're invariably going to wind up drawing all those people who are really not on the right side of things. And they are going to start hunting you because now you are sparking some sort of interest in them. And then all of a sudden you've got all this unwanted attention from people, but you really did invite it. Right. Now, we know that you can set off the wrong kinds of things within men and women. And we see this here with this woman. People think it's just men that can, you know, that can get these urges. Well, no, she absolutely got it. Right. And so men and women both get urges. So be very careful. Be very careful. Be yourself. Dress modestly. And just allow the Lord to do it. You know, the Lord's reminding me of something to tell you. So when I came out of being possessed, I've spent a good couple of years just trying to find my feet, just trying to find who I was, and just trying to get out of that mess and away from the nonsense. And then I got to the point where I started to stabilize a little bit. And I thought, you know what, Lord? And I had tried to have girlfriends. I had tried to have girlfriends. I had one girlfriend, and I just had, you know, I need to share this with you. This is me really bearing my soul. What you need to understand, right, is that when a person comes out of the occult, comes out of evil, especially comes out of possession, they are so scared of themselves. They are so scared of themselves because they were taken over and forced by the Spirit to do things. And it's not like the Spirit held a gun to their head. The Spirit actually did it, using your body, and you hated every moment of it. You were frightened, you were scared, you cried, but there's nothing that you could do to stop it. And when you come out of possession, you're so frightened of yourself, you're so frightened of your own body just doing its own thing again. Now the Spirit's no longer there, so it can't actually do anything anymore. You've got Jesus in your heart. You've accepted the Holy Spirit, and you've been baptized. Well, guess what? That thing's not coming back. Right? It's not coming back. But you're still terrified of your own body. You're terrified of these things, and you're scared of what you might do to somebody. You're so scared of what you might do to somebody because you did so many bad things. When you were out of control, you did so many bad things to people, and you just don't. You just don't want that again. And then you have a relationship and you're so terrified of hurting that person that eventually you turn around and say, you know what, I would rather break up, because you recognize, no, this, you know what, I can't hurt this person. I just can't hurt this person. And then you go a number of years more and the Lord heals you and strengthens you and grows you, and you get the confidence back. You recognize that the Lord is working in you. Now you are in a position whereby you would be a good person to be with. Only then does God want you to be with another person, because up until then, you're going to hurt people. You're going to hurt them not because you possess, but because you're scared. And you're going to react in all the wrong ways. And so what you need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, if you've been through anything like what I've been talking about now, about possession, and somebody tells you that they were possessed, understand where they're coming from. They are scared inside, and they will take time to heal. They will take time to heal. Anyway, I was now at a point whereby I was stabilized, and I was in a pretty good space. And I really wanted it. A girlfriend. And so I made a list of all the traits that I was looking for in the perfect spouse. And I described physically, I described emotionally, I described humor and various other things, right? Well, anyhow, one day I met her. One day, and I just absolutely knew that this was her. And to cut a very long story short, we eventually started going out, and then we got engaged, and then we got married. And we have three amazing children, all grown up now. But occasionally, my wife will say something like the following to me: "I have no idea why I married you." And I will always come back, and we have a bit of a smile about this, but I always say, "Love, I had a list. You didn't. So you got me." But she really was my opposite. I mean, as close as you can get to angels, that's my wife. And as close as the darkness is to me, that's me, right? Anyway, to get back to this whole point, not quite sure who that was for, but I'm sure that you guys will make most of it. So don't use your clothing to try and catch somebody. Be yourself. Pray. Make your list and pray and stand by your list. All right? Just leave it in the Lord's hands and get on with life, and God will bring that person across your path. Go out and do the things you love doing, because then you'll find somebody who loves doing the same thing as you. And that's a good match. But then go a step further. She takes his garment, or she keeps his garment. He leaves his garment behind. That is evidence of you. Don't do that. Make sure that your clothing is a safe place. You know where it is and you can get it. It's not going to be used and abused by other people. So she then uses this clothing as evidence, and then he winds up in the prison. Of course, God was moving him up. He was in the prison because from the prison, you can hear all the gossip stories about what's going on. And don't you know that when Joseph got to the point whereby Pharaoh said, "I'm putting you in charge of everything," that every single person suddenly came to Joseph and said, "Oh yeah, I'd like to be with you. Can I do this? Can I do that?" He'd spent 2 years hearing about the details and the sordid stories of every single one of these people at the top. He knew them inside out because of all the stuff that had been going on. Just remember that he took care of the chief butler and the chief baker for 3 days. He heard so many stories about what was going on the inside there, amongst various other things that he would have heard over the years. So when he chose the people who were going to work for him in Egypt, he already knew the right people. And that's how God works. He builds slowly, methodically, and carefully. Don't rush him. Don't be impatient. Don't be upset if things don't work out the way that you think. God is building. God's favor is on you, whether you look like in a bad space or not. Okay, so let's read this again from verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. None greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, to be with her. And it came to pass about this time, that went into the house to do his business, and none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." and he left his garments in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice, and it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled, and got him out. She laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, remember, make your keywords in the second column, and mark yourself either a plus zero or a minus, depending on whether or not you've got some work to do on this or not. God bless, guys, and have an absolutely beautiful day.